On this episode of Chicago Beer Pass, Nick and I are drinking some Microphone and Triptych beer as we knock back some Coronitas, talk about the Bourbon County Stout lineup, and trips to Twisted Hippo, Maplewood, and Half Acre. All that more on this episode.
Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I got to take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to, every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You got to take in all those big, aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
Nick's over here cutting some limes.
Oh, man, I got a nice slice there.
For our Coronitas. We just did a
there you go, champ.
Instagram reel where, you know, it's Corona time.
Man, it's Coronita time specifically. Yeah. You know, this is the little 7-ounce ones. That was a fun reel. So every week we do the reel and we do the post game. I've been really liking that. Gives us some nice, rich content for the peoples.
Yeah.
Brad did some weird shit where he like slammed it or tipped it over.
Tip it over, but it gets all fizzy. It's supposed to, you know.
No, I'm not doing that.
Shake up the lime.
I'll fuck it up.
But you know, we're not just drinking Corona because this is a, you know, kind of a, more of a craft beer podcast or a non-macro podcast.
True.
I picked up these cans of Can't You Hear Me Hoppin' from Triptych and Microphone.
Can't You Hear Me Hoppin'? I think that's like a Stones song. This is a triple IPA, Brad, and it was brewed and canned down in Savoy at Triptych.
I did not know it was a triple IPA when I grabbed it. I saw Microphone and I saw Triptych, which you'd never see Triptych in Chicago area, so I was like, oh sweet, we had Triptych months ago and that stuff was amazing. They're like, was it So What Wheat?
Yeah,
that was great.
Elite Wheat, maybe something like that. This is Strata, Citra, and then some experimental hops, hop 436 and hop XJA2. Brad,
but what's weird is this does not have the alcohol on the can, which seems like, is that not illegal? Don't they have to put that on the can if you're going to sell it in the stores?
You know, I was looking at that on the pale ale from Only Gold from Half Acre.
Yeah.
I didn't see an ABV on that either.
But are they selling the stores or just out at the brewery?
Well, that was a brewery release.
So maybe out of the brewery it's fine, but this was at over at Capone's, and it seems like they need to have that on there.
You know, and I read it was a triple IPA, and I'm like, well, how big is it? You know, should I even open? Should I open more than one?
It's got to be 9.
Like me and Brad should share one if it's super big.
It has to be 9.
Yeah, triple. You think 9 to 11, right?
It's good.
There is a lot going on here.
It's kind of too big. That's how I'm feeling about it.
Yeah, it's big on the big whack of booze. It's big on the hops. It's kind of like it pours almost like a cocktail a little bit, right?
If we did find out it was like 6.2, would that change your opinion on it? Or would you be like, oh, let me have another one, let me go? But it's very boozy feeling.
I feel like I need to like not go in the deep end on this one. I need to like tiptoe into this.
So we got the Coronitas.
So this is a nice pairing here, right? Coronitas never get cold. They don't have time to get cold. Yeah. It's great.
So we will probably go back and forth, if you're watching the video, between our Microphone and Triptych, which we don't really have Microphone that often.
No.
If we have it, it's usually like on a YouTube video, post-game kind of thing.
That's true, yeah.
Nice. So we'll be sipping on these, talking about the spots we hit up. I made my way to Twisted Hippo.
Right on, man. Shout out to Mary Lee. Shout out to Carl.
Mm-hmm. She was working. She was serving.
And the wee baby Rutherford, who joined us on the pod.
Baby wasn't working. Just kind of walked over there, ended up getting the Kolsch and cheese curds, sat outside.
Yeah. I thought about them recently because I was like, you know, if I go there, they've got food. That's all I kept thinking. I'm like, I want to go to a brewery that has food. And I'm like, if I go to Twisted Hippo, they would have good food and good beer.
Yeah. And those cheese curds are really nice. They have those, like, tomato pepper drizzled things.
It's a different take on a cheese curd.
Yeah.
Because it's a straight up cheese curd, but then it's got some kind of sauce on it, like a maple or something. I think it's like a malt sauce.
Right. And then they're like they're lighter fried. They're not as like heavy feeling.
And those peppers are nice. They kind of look like really small, you know, some tomatoes come that color.
Yeah.
But it's got a very weird shape, and it's not a tomato. It's like just a really like cute sweet pepper.
Teardrop.
Yeah. It's like a teardrop-shaped pepper. It's kind of cool. I'm like, how'd you come up with this? This is fun.
And tomato has killed a few people.
And I've never seen it before.
So that was a nice little stop. Walked over from the house, so got to figure out the distance from the new home.
Right on. Now, you walking at this point to Twisted Hippo? You riding your bike?
We walked.
Okay.
It's probably bikeable.
It's a nice little walk, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just on that, like, all right, that was kind of too far.
Next time we're not walking.
Sure we want to walk back kind of thing?
All right, cool. And then I know they were talking outdoor. So will you sit inside or do you sit by the? I know they got the big windows.
Yeah, we sat on the sidewalk. I thought they were expanding that.
I thought so too.
They did not.
You know, the permit thing is kind of tough around here, you know? Like getting your paperwork cleared to do fun stuff. And apparently takes forever.
But although Twisted Hippo had a few people in there, the bar right across the street from them has a huge back patio, and they were
packed. I've noticed that before. I want to say, is it Temple's style pub or some shit?
Something like that, but.
But it's the bar across the street from Twisted Hippo.
That has a big patio space. And lots of people there. So I don't know what they're doing there that Twisted Hippo isn't.
It's probably been there longer, for one. Cool. And then they got
neighborhood people.
And they got the outdoor space, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
I thought about getting in there, but we just ended up heading back and hitting up some other spot, getting food.
Okay. Right on.
And then the only other thing I hit up, did some Great America. Six Flags.
Six Flags. Gurnee, Illinois. Hello.
The beer selection at Six Flags is not the greatest.
No?
But it seems like they have a Miller Coors license or distributor because they have Rev.
Mm-hmm.
So that was nice. You could get Eugene Porter in the middle of summer.
There you go.
You want a 16-ounce, $15 pour of Eugene
Porter. You know, 6% porter for you.
Yeah, Brad. I got the Lakefront, I think it was their Amber.
Okay.
They had Rev IPA, Miller Coors. And then it looked like you could get a 16-ounce pour of Dragon's Milk.
Man, if you got, you know, because a lot of folks there have kids. So they're like, listen, if you just want this party to go into overdrive, why don't you go ahead and get this here Dragon's Milk, barrel-aged stout for your mouth.
13% beer you're going to get at Great America.
Bring it on. I mean, it depends on what kind of situation you got going on, you know? If you rolled up there in a minivan full of kids, your kids and your neighbor's kids, and you're an hour from home.
But you're not going on any coasters.
No, we're doing all the things. Matter of fact, make mine. Get two. Hold one for me for after I get off this coaster, and we're going to fucking party.
We took our beers away from the place we got them and just also stood in line while drinking.
How does Brad end up at Six Flags? Can we talk about this for a quick second?
In the car. And
what the hell are you going to say?
I have a friend who decided this year that he wanted to go, so he got himself a season pass.
Oh, right on.
After not going for like a decade, he's like, season pass. I guess it's like the ultimate commitment.
You gotta go.
So and he's been trying to get people to go for the last like couple months, and no one wants to go, really.
I mean, you know.
It's fine. It's fine. It's
you know.
Like, you either really like coasters, or your kids want to go, or your board, right?
The last time I went, because my kid had a season pass.
Yeah, so I.
So this
went,
means I have a season. Now I got
to
go all the time.
I kind of went to like support his mission for this, and I hadn't been in, at least a decade. So I was like, all right, I'll go with you. We went on Tuesday. It's real nice up until about noon, and then it starts to get crowded. So if you lived up that way, or if you could do work with season pass, kind of just come up in the morning, ride four rides, and be like, all right, I'm out.
Okay.
That's the way to do it.
Yeah.
And then you could hit up one of those Gurney breweries or...
Only Child is right up there.
Grays Lake spots.
Grays Lake. Light the Lamp is up there.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a handful of options. You know, Lake Bluff has a brewery up there. There's Lake Bluff Brewing Company. Timothy O'Toole's. There's a Timothy O'Toole's in Gurney. Yeah. I mean, if you're on that... you're actually not that... How far is fucking... Light the Lamp. Not, we said Light the Lamp, but like Roaring Table and Phase 3 and all that shit. You know, Scorched Earth. While you're up there, you might as well just, you know, you could hit them all.
Right.
You know, just make a day of it.
So I feel like that would be the way to do it. You do, if you want to do Great America and you had season pass, you just go for the morning. And by the time you need lunch, just get out of
there. Just leave and go hit all the breweries up north.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I should have upgraded to the season pass and then suggested that. For our next trip.
Right. So you know, you commit a little bit by get on a ride or two, and then you're like, hey, I got this other idea here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because those rides are short. I don't know if you've been on a...
You know, I got on like the Batman one or the Justice League one. There's I'm not getting on every single one. I got on the Grand American Eagle. You know. But dude, honestly, I'm older now, so now I freak out on these fucking things. I'm like, dude, I want off.
Yeah.
I'm not getting them. I got three, I'm out.
I got them all, but the rides are like 30 seconds.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
The payoff isn't as good.
Because it's a hell of a walk to get to these fucking rides.
Yeah, even if there's not a long line and you didn't wait an hour and a half or whatever.
You still got the walk from the regular path to each ride is pretty far.
Yeah. And then you 30 seconds and you're like, cool. All right, next one. I don't know.
Yeah.
That was kind of a bummer, but yeah, you know, having a beer and just like waiting in line is like never going since I could drink. That's the way to do it. I don't know if you're still allowed to bring your beer in line, but we did.
I mean, you can do whatever you want. You're already in.
I guess. You know? Yeah. The second time I had a Truly, and that was kind of nice. It was hot.
I tell you something, man. Recently, I forget where I had a Truly, the tea one. And, you know, I poured it in my little Sox cup, and I'm just like, huh. I get it. You know, when it's hot out, and I'm already got a nice little lather going.
Yeah.
Yeah, Truly, the tea one wasn't bad at all. In fact, it was pretty good. Now, I wouldn't go get, like, three of them, but having that one, it was an enjoyable experience.
Yeah, I just felt like I needed – I had the Lake Effect first, and it was, like, later in the day. I was like, I had water, but I need something more refreshing than a beer.
Yeah.
I didn't want Miller Lite. I was like, I'll go with the Truly. You get that seltzer feeling, and you get the little kick. So that was the way to go, I think.
Can't believe we're saying this out loud, but
I go back again, I'm going seltzer all the way at Six Flags. But we did find a spot that had cans of White Claw, so we could do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my little week of Twisted Hippo and Six Flags.
I think they're putting, you know, one of those, I want to say it's Truly. They're selling, I think that's Truly's.
Sam Adams.
And I think they're selling way more Truly than they are actual beer.
Yeah, because we did find a spot that had Sam Adams there. There's different beer. I'm sure there's some blogger or somebody who's done, like, the best beers at
each one of these parks. It's a nice little bottle. It's a weird loose keys, and he's got a... gigantic key bottle opener. It's pretty cool. Like, old key that opens a castle. That's how it looks.
And there may be, like, better beer selections at the park. We were there on Tuesday. Half the stuff wasn't open. Like, there was, like, the snow tap house or whatever. So there might be better beer.
Tasmanian Devil tap house or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Whatever thing is there. But it was Tuesday. You're not going to pay some high school person $15 to just sit around and wait for someone to come in their shop. So,
okay.
Nice little day. Those were my spots.
Six Flags is all right. Yeah,
it's all right.
Going once a year, it's fine.
Yeah. What about you? You hit up anything better than Six Flags?
Different. You know, I think I ended up at the Maple Room, sitting on the patio, and You know, they got this one, they got the Razzmatazz, they got the Razzmatazz series. So that's their sour beer series that kind of modeled after, like, I want to say they're modeled after, like, remember Blow Pops?
Oh, yeah.
They're modeled after, like, lollipops. So it's like a 7% sour. Whoa. But, you know, there's a raspberry one and a blueberry one. And the blueberry one's a dead ringer for, like, you know, a raspberry Blow Pop, okay. Which was kind of cool. Neat. And they just had a couple hazies and just sat out on the patio, man. You know, so I biked from RP. I biked from Logan to RP, and the next pit stop after Maple Room's a solid stop. Oh, they got canned cocktails, so yeah. I picked up some canned cocktails to go, and was biking back north and made a pit stop into Half Acre. Wow. And Half Acre apparently is not the place that you just show up on a Saturday because I think there was like a private party or some shit on the patio.
Damn.
Didn't really want to sit inside, so I just got a 4-pack to go and then just went like a block north to the cemetery and just kind of sat in the park right there.
You just drank in the graveyard?
Just drank in the graveyard. Across the street from the cemetery. I'm like, this is, you know, a little private, quiet space here.
I hope it's quiet, yeah.
And tried the Only Gold, which was the Vienna Beef collaboration. So it's got a fantastic can on it, man. It's kind of it's the follow up to the T-shirts that we got.
Yeah.
Which I forget the name of that beer, but
I don't think they had a beer, right?
I thought it was a party.
It was a party, but
Stay Gold, right?
I don't remember if they had a beer for it. I thought they just were hot dogs.
We're just doing a hot dog party.
Yeah.
Should we open one of these? I'm asking because I cannot drink an entire one of these.
Open it up. We don't have to drink the whole can.
It's a nice companion to this, though.
Yeah.
This takes my mind. I like going back and forth. Only Gold Pale Ale, you know, delivered, you know. Much like this beer, there was no ABV on it, which was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But I love the artwork. They have the cans. They have cups for that one.
Oh, that's cool.
They got fancy cups for that one.
Hot dog shaped cups?
It's not shaped like a hot dog, but it's got the logo on it. So Only Gold has a... It says they spelled out Only Gold and mustard, and there's a hot dog on it, and it's a Vienna beef collab.
Did you get the cups, too?
I thought about it, but I was on a bike. Okay. I'm like, I'm going to break this fucking cup. I'm not getting it.
You have a lot of cups.
I got a lot of cups. Yeah. I couldn't justify getting a cup. So went to those two places, and that's just kind of par for the course. I feel like we go to those places all the time.
Yeah.
You know? But one place I had never been was on Ravenswood, and it's Urban Brew Labs. They opened their tap room last week.
Well, I don't think most people have been because it's brand new.
It just fucking opened.
Okay.
Yeah, so we saw our guy that we interviewed on the show. He's the owner and the brewmaster. Nice. I took some notes because we talked for a long time. We talked for like a half hour. Okay.
Yeah, because previously they only had sort of like a bottle shop to go. It was almost like the loading dock was sort of their bottle shop to go during COVID.
Yeah. He's got pink lemonade on draft. And like you said, they're brewing out of the old Metropolitan Brewing space in Ravenswood, but this tap room is in the old Koval space. So Koval apparently moved out and just moved down the street.
Oh, okay.
But they haven't really opened a customer-facing thing yet, even though they have space to do, like, their plan is to do, like, a, you know, like a patio and shit like that.
Neat, okay.
So I was asking him, I'm like, because, you know, we talked about, I think, Atlas in Burn City, you know, right down the street from Delilah's, and how the old Atlas brewery is now, like, condos. So I was just kind of saying to him, like, hey, congratulations on the Phobab medal, and I'm glad that you moved into these joints because, you know, a brewery can still live in the old Metro space, and, you know, something can live in the Koval space and it not just be some misforgotten thing that turned into some other shit.
Right, yeah.
You know? And he was like, honestly, his plan from the jump was to move into the Koval space.
Oh, nice.
Because I don't remember hearing that part about it.
No, I don't think he mentioned that. Maybe he did, like some sort of expansion thing, but...
Yeah. So apparently, you know, he moved into the August 2020, I want to say, they moved out Koval.
Okay.
So then he was ready to rock, like, September 2020 with expanding for his tap room.
Oh, sure.
So he, you know, he got all the permits and he just started building.
Oh, okay.
So he's been working towards that since September, right? September of last year.
I feel like that's a pretty good time to build that out because you're going to be inside. If you can build it out or do take on a lot of the work yourself or
yeah,
whatever needs to happen.
Yeah.
If it's cold, you just go at it.
Yeah. So he was like, you know, he didn't really get a city permit to do his thing until like almost May of 2021. So he had the space from September of 2020 and couldn't get the permits and shit till May. Everything just moved super slow for him. Yeah. And that's why it opened so late. They got a pink lemonade on draft there, which was kind of cool.
Actual pink lemonade?
An actual pink lemonade on draft.
Not the Run the Jewels.
Not like a seltzer or like a pink lemonade-inspired beer. He's got like straight up fruit.
Non-alcoholic
fruit lemonade, a little fuzzy. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. Yeah. What I like about the space is that they kept two of the old Koval barrels there. So if you're sitting in the couch area, kind of lounge area, it's kind of bookended by these two Koval barrels.
Okay.
Kind of an ode to what it used to be.
I never went in there when it was
Koval. When it was Koval?
Yeah.
I went once on a tour. He was saying that, oh, his inspection included the city when they got there. You know, the expectation was for them to just inspect that building. But since it was attached to the brewery, you know, some kind of incidental damage clause or something they had to inspect for. And they just assumed that they were supposed to inspect over there.
Oh, shit.
So they went over there and inspected anyway. And they were like, yeah, they thought that since I'm next to a brewery, that the incidental piece includes the brewery. So then he had to install like a sink or like an extra bathroom or some shit in the brewery to pass inspection for the tap room.
What?
I think it was a sink. He said he had to pass a sink. Incidental review.
Okay.
So part of the incidental review included the brewery when he didn't think it should have. Yeah, I had a kettle sour and a barrel-aged stout there, man.
Okay.
So that was a cool stop.
Nice.
Yeah. So cheers to him, man. The space looks great. And, you know, he was comparing notes to, like, another Northwest Side brewer. And he's like, yeah, their space was, like, triple the price of his space when they just started exchanging numbers. But he was like, he did a lot of the work himself. Okay. So his overhead was a little bit different than if you were to just do this and not build it yourself.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So...
Urban Brew Labs, they're sort of in the Malt Row, but they are the junction between Malt Row and Empirical.
Right. So Empirical's like, and straight up, it's weird because you can walk to, you know, what is it, Dovetail and Beguile.
Yeah, well, there's a block.
You can walk this block. But then Brew Labs isn't really a block away at all. In fact, Brew Labs, I feel like, is closer to like a mile away.
Yeah.
But it's still part of Malt Row.
And it's a little farther than what was the old Half Acre, soon to be Hop Butcher spot.
Yeah.
So if you were walking.
You could walk to Dovetail and Beguile and Half Acre.
But walking to Brew Labs is... And you can't walk to Empirical. You can walk to all these.
You can walk to all these, but it's a bit of a hike.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is a little, it's part of Malt Row, but it's a little disconnected from the south of.
Because you would have hit Band of Bohemian before.
That's right.
Urban Renewal. And Band of Bohemian was already a little waste.
And now Band of Bohemian is going to become the second location for.
Forbidden Root.
Forbidden Root.
Or third, if you count.
Oh, if you count the Ohio. So. That was a good spot. It was fun to catch up with him, and I was super excited for him. Just kind of, you know, you can't really survive without a tap room, you know. It changes your ability to fucking, you know, get people in the door, and then brew stuff to people's specs, you know, that are excited about you, and just have a sense of community. You can't do any of that shit without a tap room. That's kind of a lifeline to a brewery, I think. You know,
yeah.
So I was excited for him.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's cool. I'll have to make it over there and check out that spot. Anything else you hit up?
Man, shout out to Phase 3. I had to go up to Lake Zurich and pick up my allotment.
Okay.
Curvature Batch 9. They had a launch party for that. I missed that. So by the time I got up there, it was like, that was Saturday. So I got up to like Tuesday or some shit.
Okay. Weren't we supposed to be drinking one of these?
Fuck,
this week?
I forgot to bring it, man. Fuck. I'm fucking up, man. I need to lay off the 12% IPAs, and maybe I can just bring the beers, like I said. They had a, what was it? They had a barrel-aged press. Press is their Imperial Porter series.
Okay.
So I had a barrel-aged version of that on. I had their lager. Their lager wasn't really my jam.
Okay. That's not, no one, No one's ever said phase three lagers.
Go up there for the lagers. No one says that. Yeah. Came in a cool little dimpled mug.
The lager did? Like yeah. The slow pour kind of mug?
Yeah.
Like Rev? Or not Rev?
Metro?
Ravinia?
No, Ravinia. Yeah, it came in that kind of mug.
Okay.
So that was nice.
Neat.
But, yeah, go up there for the porter, and we got to try the beer. Because yeah. Now these beers are piling up, Brad.
All right, yeah. We'll be diving in those at some point. Man, sounds like a pretty solid week all around. Too big of a sip of
that's
that.
That's a serious fucking beer.
Like, yeah. Coronas you just kind of crush, and they're like 4.8, although they're little. But then you're like, oh, we finished 6 of those, and now we got this 33% IPA.
This is basically fortified wine. This is fuzzy fortified wine in this fucking can, man.
Yeah, someone poured vodka in my orange juice. And then
carbonated it and threw some hops in it.
Yeah. All right, so some good stops. And then there's been a bit of news or happenings in Chicago lately.
The old happenings, huh?
The old happenings.
Things are happening.
I guess as of right now, what is it? August 5th, we're sort of back in this like mask rule at breweries again. So a lot of the breweries are going back to you got a mask on if you're going in them. Whatever. That's fine. And then Metro is saying you have to be vaxxed to come into their spot. You need to provide a picture of your card or your card to even come into the tap room. If you don't have that, you can still get beer to go.
Yeah, it's kind of like what Lollapalooza was saying, where you need to show proof, or you can't party, man.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So I think Promiscuous is doing this, and so is Metro.
Okay.
You know, and well, shit. In a larger sense, you know, state workers in California and in New York. And
yeah,
Google and Facebook employees.
I think New York is all restaurants have to.
So what you're starting to see is like, you know, this is starting to become a trend. So, you know, today it'll be show us your health card. And then tomorrow it'll be, you know, stick this computer chip in your skin or you can't fucking come to work. This is the precursor to the end of days. Whoa. As outlined in Behold a Pale Horse.
you already carry around the phone. You're already microchipped.
So, yeah. So this is the precursor to that. So that's cool.
So that's just something to be aware of. If you're going to places, I guess I should. I don't even know where my card is. I guess I should take a picture of it now in case.
I mean, it wasn't really ever produced for you to just have. As something you carry around all the time. Like, it's not laminated. It's just like this little index card, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, that's cool. You know, I mean, but you know, I think if I worked at a brewery, right, and I'm customer facing and I'm wearing a fucking mask all day, I would imagine that gets tiring. So I think that some of that is driving it. And then
you got the shot. You have it. What, you're not, I guess the only thing I would say if you have kids. If you have kids that can't get the shot, then okay, maybe they have enough people that work there that have kids, and that's just the added risk. But
and then the Delta variant, is anyone protected from the Delta variant without a booster shot of some sort?
I don't know. I'm not a scientist.
I don't know either. But that's coming, you know.
Yeah, I think Rev is the other place that's saying mask, and I'm sure a lot of places will just follow suit. Whatever, it's in my pocket at this point, and I feel like a lot of the breweries are just going to provide masks. It's mm-hmm. sort of it'd be like a, I've never gone to one of these places, but where you have to wear like a tie in there or a suit jacket, and they're like, oh, we'll provide you with the suit jacket.
Oh yeah, there are places
this,
like
I've only
that.
Only see this on like TV and movies.
Right, there are places where you can't like, oh, you can't party here unless you're wearing a sport coat.
I don't have a mask. Like, oh, we will give you a disposable mask. Okay.
Yeah. You'd like to see some of that coming up too, with the totalitarian no vax card. Show us your health record or you can't get in. And that's fine, right? Because it's a private company.
Yeah.
But you'd like to see something a little more customer friendly too, like to your point, where it's like, no mask. We're not a public company, so fuck you. We say vax only. However, we have a complimentary mask if you want to come party.
Yeah.
I'd rather see, you know, that'd be nice. That'd be a nice touch going forward.
I think a lot of places do that, yeah.
Yeah.
And you can still buy the beer to go.
You can buy the beer to go, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, just something to note, and we'll see what happens. It's, I feel like if this is happening in August, this is just going to happen more as winter sets in.
Yeah.
Like, if you're worried about this in the summertime when you're sitting outside on your patio, man. Oh, and speaking of Metro Patio, I heard it's $25 to dock your boat at that dock.
Yeah. I'm in for that. I don't have a boat.
$25 just to, like, tie up your boat to go there?
And party there?
It's like, I thought docks were, like, docks like that were kind of open to be like, oh, yeah, please come in. But if it's $25.
I mean, you know. They were out of business for a while.
If you just want to run in and get, but I think the dock fee probably goes to the building. But if you want to just run in and get like a six pack for your boat, and you're like $25.
I'm out on that. But if we're just docking our boat and then having beers and partying on the dock at Metro from the boat.
I don't think you can party on the dock.
Oh, then no.
I don't know.
I want to park my boat, party on my boat. With some Metro beers as like a pit stop and just keep on trucking.
Yeah.
I'm down for that.
I didn't know it was $25. That's kind
of
crazy.
Yeah, because if you rent one of those little boats downtown, you know, on the river,
yeah.
And your little electric boat, somebody drives it, you can park at those little bars. There's like four bars down there. You can park at those bars and you can just park there.
Yeah.
There's no fee to park there. So from that standpoint, that is a little weird, yeah.
So, yeah, I'm not taking my non-existent boat there anytime soon.
I don't have a boat, but I'm telling you, I'm not going to pay $25 to park it at Metro.
I feel like you just, like, pull over to the side and have someone, like, jump out and be like, okay, run and get some beers. Like, we'll get real close to the edge, but we're not going to bump it. But you got to take a leap, and then you got to jump back in this boat.
And, yeah, that's exactly what you would do. Miller Coors is in the news, man. They discontinued 11 brands.
Oh, shit. What we got?
Let's see. Keystone Ice.
Okay.
Mickey's Fine Malt Liquor Ice.
Mickey's Ice. Yeah. I was like, Mickey's?
So I think Mickey's the one.
Grenade.
The grenade, and you twist it off, and it's got like a little fact under the cap. That's staying, but Whatever Mickey's Fine Malt Liquor Ice is, I'm not sure. That's a different thing.
This is 11 ice beers that are getting hacked.
They whacked all the ice beers. Miller High Life Light?
What?
Sorry. Miller High Life Light.
There's a Miller High Life Light?
It was. Now it's gone.
Whoa.
Ham Special Light is gone.
What would Light High Life taste like?
Yeah. Just give me the High Life. You know, and don't even give me the High Life in the can. Give me the High Life in the bottle. Mm-hmm. Ham's Special Light, Milwaukee's Best Premium. That sounds like the biggest one on this list. Yeah. These other ones are just spinoffs of stuff, you know. Ice House Edge, Magnum, whatever that is. Steel Reserve 211. I feel like when we interviewed Lisa Zimmer at MillerCoors headquarters, and they had like a spinoff of Steel Reserve stuff, and one of them was like pineapple or some shit.
Oh, okay.
It was like a weird spinoff of just a weird brand altogether. Old English HG 8000. Did I say that right? Old English HG 8000. You know, it's probably a good thing they got rid of a lot of this shit.
I don't even know if I've even ever had an oldie.
I mean, maybe when I was like 15 in the burbs. And, you know, we went outside a White Hand Pantry and slipped the guy $2 to get us one.
I feel like the bottle is plastic.
Yeah.
Right? It's one of those, like, plastic big bottles. Like, it's not even a glass one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Henry's Weinhardt Private Reserve. All gone from...
All right. Well, Nick, I want to hear about, like, new beers that are coming out from one of these big places. Like, don't we have a list of, like, some fancy beers coming out?
We do have a list of fancy beers, Brad. How about Goose Island? Is that big enough and fancy enough for you?
Are they making a Bourbon County Stout Ice? Eisbach.
The legendary. Yes. The legendary Goose Island, the oldest brewery in town. I want to say they're 35, 36 years old now. The 2021 Bourbon County Stout Sheet is out, Brad. Okay. Let's just get right into it, man. There's 8 of them, okay?
How many were last year?
I think so. Yeah, that's kind of their sweet spot now. They're doing 8, probably all on one day, because that's what they're set up to do. Yeah. And I think they worked their way up to that point, so I don't think they're changing that. Even though Rev is kind of coming in with this incremental thing that really is just a game changer. Yeah. And they're in cans, too. You don't have to commit to a 16.9. But let's talk about the 2021 Bourbon County Stout lineup, Brad.
Okay.
All right, here we go. OG, right?
Stan, that would be upsetting if no OG.
If there's no OG, I'm like, what?
I think you can get it for like $1.99 at the store.
Bourbon County Stout, Cherrywood Stout.
Okay.
Bourbon County Reserve 150.
Is this like the Steel Reserve 150 that got cut?
Bourbon County Stout Reserve 150 is not.
Was it the Steel Reserve? Was it 150?
I'm sorry to burst your bubble, Brad, but it's not.
It's the Steel Reserve just got sold.
The name got sold to Goose, and Miller discontinued it so that Goose could put it in Bourbon County. No, it's Old Forester. They had a 150th anniversary release last year.
Nice. Okay.
To celebrate their 150. So they're using those barrels. Okay. So that's Reserve 150. Double barrel toasted barrel. Now, that's an Elijah Craig barrel. So if I got this right, it's a double barrel stout. So it's aged for 1 year in Elijah Craig barrels. And then they age it for another year in Elijah Craig toasted bourbon barrels.
Okay. And we've had a double barrel Bourbon County before, right?
Yeah. And it was
it wasn't last year.
It was a couple years ago, and it was 11 and 12 year Knob Creek barrels.
Okay.
Yeah. So
I feel like that was pretty tasty.
That was one of the better ones that year. Yeah, I think this is going to be really good.
Yeah.
So I think toasted, you know, most oak is charred, right? When you make bourbon, you char the oak.
Yeah.
And then a lot of bourbons finish in toasted barrels. So they transfer it to another barrel, and then instead of charring it, the oak, they toast the oak.
What's the difference?
I think it's, you know, lower temperature. It doesn't turn the wood black, and the lower temperature is supposed to bring out different flavors, almost like campfire flavors, marshmallow and vanilla, that sort of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm actually, on this list, that's one of the ones I'm more excited about.
Yeah.
Is that one. Double barrel toasted barrel. That's a mouthful. Goose Island, Bourbon County, Double Barrel Toasted Barrel Stout is the name of that one.
What are the homie BCSDBTB?
DBTB Stout. next up is Goose Island Reserve Blanton's Stout.
I'm excited for that one.
That'll be Blanton Single Barrels. Mm. Now, this is where things get a little fun. Goose Island Bourbon County Classic Cola Stout, Brad.
Cola. What's the info on this? Is it basically?
Well, they're pushing boundaries. Okay, let's start there.
Is this Coca-Cola mixed with Bourbon County?
It's a cola-inspired variant, and they recreate a classic cola flavor by combining. So they're going for a whiskey cola BCS, basically. Right.
So it's vanilla Bourbon County in whiskey barrels.
Let's read the ingredients. So they took BCS and then they added lime, orange juice, orange zest, coriander.
Okay. When someone says ask for a cola or a soda, I think of a dark. I think of like a Pepsi or a Coke.
Mm-hmm.
So hearing that there's orange juice and lime, I'm already out. This is not a cola. This is a soft drink.
Cassia bark, which I believe is a type of cinnamon.
Yeah, okay.
Nutmeg, brown sugar, and vanilla. Okay. So they added all those things.
Which vanilla?
Yeah, are we talking Madagascar or Tahitian? I don't know. You know, I'm a Tahitian guy myself.
Beans or like...
yeah, are we talking vanilla extract from McCormick here, you know, that we can get at the fucking...
Come on, Goose. I thought we were all about like all info.
Yeah, not a lot of deets on the vanilla there. So that's the next one. Let's see.
How do you feel about that?
I don't know. I think that would be your Kentucky Fog, where people are going to be like, this is cool, and some people are going to be like, get the fuck away from me with that.
I just don't know what's the cola?
BCS Whiskey Cola. This is, you ever had the, Off Color came out with one beer for burgers, maybe, and it was a cola-inspired beer.
Okay.
And it was just like, I don't know, man. It's like, I forget what theirs was, but, you know, caramel and cherry. I think theirs was like Cherry Coke. They're like, we're making a beer inspired by Cherry Coke, basically.
Okay.
So they're making a beer inspired by whiskey and cola. Coke. Yeah.
Okay.
So the next one is Bourbon County 14. And that's literally just a recreation of the Prop 2014 recipe. So Prop in 20.
It's not the 14. It's not the 14th year of Bourbon County.
No, it's just Prop 14, but they're calling it Bourbon County 14. So this is
like it was 14 years of Bourbon County.
I know. Just like last year, we were saying this in a pre-show. Last year they came out with a Goose Island birthday and a Goose Island anniversary beer.
Yeah.
And just the terms released at the same time were kind of confusing. Yeah. So BCS 14 is a recreation of the proprietor's 2014 recipe. So they added a little more rye to the mash bill. But Prop 14 was cassia bark, cocoa nibs, panela sugar, and coconut water.
I remember this.
Because, you know, the previous prop, I guess Prop 13, was a coconut BCS, but they used actual coconut flesh and it was separate in the bottle. It was a bomber. And so people would be like, man, all the coconut's at the bottom, and it's kind of, you know, it's like a different consistency from the rest of the product. So when you poured it out, either all the coconut came out first or last, but it wasn't like blended. So they said no more straight coconut. We'll use coconut water because that blends better with the stout.
Sure.
Yeah. All right. And then the last one is Prop, obviously. Prop okay. 2021. So this is last year's Prop was, what's that Italian thing? Fuck. It's kind of Neapolitan. It's Neapolitan, but it's Italian.
Yes.
Spumoni. Spumoni. Yeah. The lady who made the Spumoni is back. And this time she's making a Prop blended with strawberry, vanilla, and coconut. And it's reminiscent of a strawberry ice cream bar. So
okay, whew. strawberry ice cream
Prop.
Okay,
I might be in for that.
So we have cola, strawberry, cherry.
Yeah. Oh, did we talk about Bourbon County Cherrywood?
Right. So what? So Cherrywood.
Bourbon County Cherrywood.
Is it gonna taste like cherries?
I think it's a little. It was a little misleading for me reading it because Bourbon County Cherrywood. It's cherry space wood, and it refers to BCS finished on toasted wood chips. And the wood chip they finish it on is a cherry wood chip.
But it's not, I can't imagine cherry wood tastes cherry-y, right? Because cherry wood would be the color and the type of wood, right? Not, like you don't lick your walnut floor and it tastes like walnut, right? This isn't Willy Wonka up in here.
It's wood obtained from the cherry tree.
Right, but does that wood taste like cherries?
I mean, that's a fair question. This is definitely not a fruit beer. It's a beer finished on wood chips.
From a fruit tree.
Yes.
Like apple trees don't. That wood doesn't taste apple-y.
I don't fucking know, man.
This feels like a weird Willy Wonka.
It's, you know, I don't know what to make of this. Yeah. I mean, when you look up cherry wood, they say, hey, it's a pretty expensive wood and a lot of, you know, it's an in-demand wood for actual furniture.
I feel like maybe.
But who's making beer with cherry wood?
But I feel like I'm almost thinking if you are burning cherry wood chips
or toasting, right?
But if you're like in a campfire or something,
yeah,
you may get like a sweet kind of aroma. So maybe they're not gonna taste, but maybe you get like a sweetness.
If you were you know, like we've been grilling a lot lately, if you grill with a wood, you grill with a cherry wood, and you know, you got your skewers and your skewers have chicken and pineapple on them, and you throw some wet cherry wood on your coals, all that smoke, it's definitely going to create like a cool kind of smoky sweet flavor in your food.
Not a cherry flavor, but sweet.
Just sweet in general, but that not specific to cherry. Mm. Right. So I'd like to hear more about that. I don't really know much about cherry wood.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about that. It's BCS finished on wood chips, but the wood chips came from a fruit tree. So they're calling it BCS cherry wood.
Okay.
So the one
I'm going to want cherry when I have
that's what beer, I'm saying. Right? That's what I'm saying. Like
that's people, why I like there's a strawberry, there's a cherry, and there's a cola.
People are going to hear cherry and be like, oh, I'll have the cherry wood.
And it's really. Be like, it tastes like wood.
Some people are for sure going to do that.
This is Bourbon County extra woody.
Bourbon County extra wood, man. Man.
All right. Well, I feel like that's a fun lineup. I feel like they're not as sweet as they were last year. They were very sweet last year.
You can get lost in the woods with this fruit forward, dessert forward lineups. And I'm glad they're not doing that. So if you look at OG and Cherrywood and Reserve, that's three.
Oh, there's a coconut one, right?
Double Barrel, Toasted Barrel, and Blanton's. So five of the eight don't have any adjuncts at all. Hmm. They're just highlighting either wood types or barrel types. So I think that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
Pretty cool. I don't know. I'm just confused at the audience of Bourbon County at this point. Maybe they are too. Like, are they pastry stout? Like, I want a chocolate cake kind of stout? Or are they the whiskey drinkers? Like, oh, I appreciate this beer because it was in Blanton's barrels. Like,
yeah, I think you're going after the taters. Or, you know, the taters are the guys who just, like, follow the hype releases in whiskey.
Yeah.
When you put a beer in Blanton's barrels for 18 months, right? So that's longer. That's a year and a half. And OG is only a year old.
Yeah.
You're going after a whiskey audience at that point.
Yeah. They're after that audience more than the chocolate cake audience.
I think so.
Right?
Yeah. So, and kudos to them for that, because the pastry stout audience is definitely, you know, influential, for lack of a better term. You know, people cater to the pastry stout audience all the time. If you got eight releases on BCS and five of them don't have any adjuncts at all, I think you're definitely making a statement there by saying, you know, if there is different flavors, let's just explore the barrel more. Let's just explore different barrels, and you can find difference in that versus us actually adding shit to the beer.
Yeah.
So I think that's the statement they're making, just reading this.
Yeah. And then do you think this year they do less regular Bourbon County? Because the amount of photos and, like, Jewel selling bottles for $1.99.
Yeah, you can go get OG right now if you wanted it, a full calendar year later, so.
Nobody, not that no one wants it.
They made a lot of it.
It's just there's a lot.
And to take it even further, man, you know, places like Seattle or New York City, you could go get the whole lineup right now.
Yeah.
You know, so I wonder what that's about.
Yeah, I wonder if they scale back at all this year and do something a little different, or how
you
they
put,
release.
Yeah, and put the focus on the variants, right?
Yeah.
Make more variants. Don't make as much OG. Because it seemed like OG. I don't know if you want OG. If you're Goose Island, do you want your OG from 2020 on the shelf a full 12 months later?
Well, you definitely don't want it to be like, here's 2021, 2020's still there. And then what happens when 2022 comes out? Is 2020, like, a store's going to be like, yo, take these back. I'm not buying your 2022 now. I still have 2020.
So it's twofold, and now we're getting into full BCS talk. But in Chicago, what the fuck do you expect from us? They, you get to a point where I think the OG is the carrot for the store. It's like, well, you buy, I don't know, 1,000. You buy 200 OGs.
Yeah.
And if you buy the 200 OGs, then we'll give you X number of variants.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like that, right? Like, help us sell OG, and you'll be rewarded for that kind of thing.
Yeah, but I guess.
So if you scale back OG, now you're ruining your whole little carrot thing.
But if a place is like, I'm not selling this beer, I'm just not going to roll the dice. I'll go buy one of these other brewery beers that are a little more liquid. Like, your stuff's not liquid enough.
Yeah, they're going to find themselves in a position like, you know, this is actually a good example. Blanton's, the crew who makes Blanton's is Buffalo Trace. Buffalo Trace also makes Wheatley Vodka, and they also make Fireball. Fireball keeps the lights on at Buffalo Trace.
Okay, yeah.
So there are stores around town that are just kind of like, listen, man, I don't want to carry 40 cases of fucking Fireball. So if that means I miss out on Blanton's and I miss out on Buffalo Trace, then fuck it. I'd rather just go find someone else to party with, you know. And if Goose isn't careful, they'll be in that camp. Unless they got so much of this stuff that they don't care. But there are definitely reputable liquor stores that are just saying, well, we won't carry the shit at all if you're going to make me buy so much OG.
Yeah, because it takes up space. I'd rather just get the other thing.
I'm going to sit on this shit for a year.
If someone wants Blanton's, they're calling around anywhere. They're not just showing up to places. They're like, do you have this? All right, do you have this? I'll come there.
Yeah. So that's an interesting way to look at it.
I doubt that Blanton's audience is also buying Fireball. Like, that's a different audience, too.
That's probably true. It's so weird. It's weird how that's set up. But, yeah, the people who buy Fireball aren't also there. People aren't going to the register with both Fireball and Blanton's. I don't think that's happening.
No.
No.
But although I just did something.
You went to the store and bought
Corona and a fucking triple IPA. Like, that's the most, like, that often doesn't happen. So this was a rare case, but I just did basically the equivalent of Blanton's and buying Fireball.
Yes. Once, like, but to your point, once in the whole time I've known you.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah. So, but it's interesting. It's an interesting case study in how these things work and how marketing plays a role in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but anyway, yeah, BCS is back.
BCS is back. So we're that close to Thanksgiving then.
What the fuck, Brad? I'm still wearing sandals, man.
September, they should start bottling stuff, right?
Oktoberfest is right around the corner. Like, not Revolution, but Half Acre and Three Floyds.
They're rolling them off the lines,
fucking
aren't they?
Pumpkin is at stores now.
Pumpkin's always at stores.
That's August, man. Come on. We just had Lala. It's still, this is peak summer, man.
Riot Fest is this weekend, I think.
Yeah?
I think is it this weekend or next?
RTJ's going to be at Riot Fest. I hope it streams live on Hulu, like fucking all of that. Good. That was fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. We should get out of here. We got our triple IPA. We've almost finished all of our coronitas.
Woo! Coronitas!
And, yeah, we're feeling pretty good. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when we're not here.
Hey, man. I'm on Twitter at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Chicago Beer Pass,
Brad,
Instagram.
You let us go 50 minutes, bro.
Yeah, I had a lot to say about this cherry wood and what's in a cola. and ChicagoBeerPass.com, all the episodes are there. We're getting caught up with the episode, so we should be back on track soon. So if you're missing us, don't worry. We're here.
Don't worry. It's coming.
Take care.
Cheers.